Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 4, and we want to read a number of verses beginning at verse 7. We'll read down through verse 26. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's first consider the setting for what happened on this occasion that we just read about. At the time, Jesus was traveling from Judea to Galilee. Remember that Palestine was divided into various sections. Judea was to the south, and of course, Jerusalem was the capital of Judea. North of Judea was Samaria, and then Galilee. It's my understanding that when the Jewish people, as a general rule, traveled from Judea to Galilee, they would not go through Samaria, because of their feelings toward the Samaritans. It's my understanding that they would actually go out of their way to travel further to avoid stepping foot on the land belonging to the Samaritans. Well, if you notice carefully, the woman said that the Jews and the Samaritans don't have any dealings with each other. Well, there was a lot of animosity between those two groups. But it's interesting that when Jesus traveled from Judea up to Galilee, he went right through Samaria. You see, he didn't get caught up in this business of having animosity toward other people. Jesus taught his followers to avoid that. So Jesus, rather than go around Samaria, went right through it. And as he was making this trip, he came to Sychar in Samaria. And that is where Jacob's well was located. Now, that well would have had a lot of significance. I've been to a few wells that I thought had a lot of attention given to them. I have drunk water from St. Augustine, from the Fountain of Youth, and I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. I wish it did, but I've drunk water from that place several times, and I'm a lot older than I was. Well, it's too bad that that's been commercialized. But this was a very famous well. And Jesus stopped there as he was making his journey from Judea up to Galilee. Jesus rested at the well, and his disciples went into the city to purchase some food. While the disciples were gone into the city to buy food, this woman of Samaria came to that well for the purpose of drawing water. Jesus talked to her. One of the subjects that they talked about was worship. The word worship, as it's used in this context, means to bow down before, to pay reverence to, or to adore. Now, this is illustrated in Psalm 95 in verse 6. Psalm 95 is a very beautiful psalm. But in verse 6, the writer said, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." That passage illustrates what is involved in worship. So that's the subject, or at least one subject, that Jesus and this woman discussed. I thought it was interesting that when Jesus was dealing with some personal information, this woman said very quickly, "I perceive that you're a prophet." Jesus knew all about this woman. He knew about her life and the way she lived her life. She realized she was talking to someone very special. And she knew something about the coming of Christ. You see, the Samaritans had the law of Moses and the Old Testament scriptures. They knew that one day Christ would come. Well, she knew that. And what a blessing that woman received that day when Jesus said, "That's who's talking to you. I am the Christ." Well, that woman received a very special blessing that day. She actually came in contact with the Lord himself. Now, they talked about several different matters. But one thing that they discussed was worship. And for a little while today, we want to concentrate on the part of the discussion that Jesus and this woman had concerning worship. Now, we need to pay close attention to what the Lord taught concerning worship, and we need to make sure that we comply with it. I find it interesting that on many occasions, Jesus was talking to various people, and as he was having discussions with those people, he would reveal his will on a number of very important subjects. So Jesus is having a discussion with this woman at Jacob's well. He's resting there while his disciples have gone into the city to purchase some food. She has come to that location for the purpose of drawing water. And, of course, she had this conversation with the Lord. We're especially concerned with the things that they talked about in relation to worship. As we examine this discussion that Jesus had with the woman of Samaria, we see that the Lord revealed the object of worship. Worship involves a worshiper and an object of worship. Well, we're concerned right now with the object of worship, and Jesus revealed that very clearly. As a matter of fact, he said no less than three times that worship is to be directed to God. Look at verse 21 again. At the very end of this verse, he said, "Worship the Father." In verse 23, he said, "The true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And then in verse 24, a passage that we quote quite often, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Jesus stated no less than three times that God is the object of our worship. Now, the Bible teaches us that there are certain objects and certain individuals that are not to be worshiped. To illustrate the point, Worship is not to be directed to man. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Recently, we studied about the conversion of Cornelius. That's very important because he was the first Gentile to be converted to Christianity. Acts chapter 10, let's look at verses 25 and 26. Now, Cornelius was instructed to send for Simon Peter. He was told that Simon would come and teach him some things that he needed to hear. Well, the Lord appeared to Simon and directed him to go to visit with these Gentiles. And Peter did as he was instructed. Now, you have to understand that there was even greater animosity between the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, there was a lot of animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans, but there was even greater animosity between Jews and Gentiles. Now, by this time, Christianity has been established, and the Lord had intended for everyone to become his children, regardless of racial background or ethnic background. The gospel had not been taken to the Gentiles. Well, that was about to change. Peter did as he was instructed, and he went to visit with this family. Let's notice the reaction of Cornelius and then Peter's response. Acts chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him." Here we have an example of a man, a Gentile, falling down before Peter, and he was worshiping him. What was Peter's response? Verse 26 says, "But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.'" We learn from what happened that worship is not to be directed to man. Now, over and over again in the Bible, we read about people showing respect and reverence to individuals. That's a different matter. The Bible condemns worshiping individuals. It's not wrong to show reverence to someone. It's not wrong to show respect to someone. As a matter of fact, the Bible even teaches that we're to show respect to certain individuals. But it's not proper to direct worship to man. Furthermore, idols and images that are made of a variety of materials are not to be worshiped. Let's look at Acts chapter 17 and read verse 29. The Apostle Paul was in Athens, and there was a great problem with idolatry in that city. And Paul was upset by what he saw. There were so many idols. There was one altar with the inscription, "To the unknown God." Now, Paul had an opportunity to speak, and he said, "That's the God I want to tell you about." He said, "I noticed that you had this altar over here with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' He's the one I want to tell you about." Well, he began to tell all the people there about Jehovah. This is one thing he said. Look at verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." Worship is not to be directed to idols and images made of a variety of materials. Now, there are a number of passages that deal with idolatry, both in the Old Testament as well as the New. And it seems that people from all different backgrounds could get caught up in worship. Some who were quite well off might go to one who was quite skilled and have an image made of maybe gold, maybe silver. But you know, everyone can't afford that, so one who was not quite as well off might select a piece of wood and have an image made from that. But the Old Testament prophets, I believe, used great judgment on different occasions when they tried to point out how ridiculous it is to worship idols. Quite often the prophets would say, "These images that are so important to you, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have mouths, but they can't speak." And the prophets were quite adamant in showing that idolatry just doesn't make any sense at all. But that problem's been around for a long, long time. God told his people to avoid the worship of idols and images, but quite often they would go against his will and get caught up in that practice. Well, the Bible teaches us over and over again that worship is not to be directed toward idols and images, regardless of whatever materials they might be made of. Furthermore, worship is not to be directed to angels. Let's look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22, we want to read verses 8 and 9. When the revelation begins, we find the order in which this message was communicated. It's the revelation of God that he gave to his son, who signified it by his angel unto a servant John. Now that's the way that the revelation was communicated. An angel was involved in signifying this message to the apostle John. Now at the end of the revelation, this angel appeared to John. Let's notice John's response and then the angel's response. Revelation 22 and verse 8 says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." That angel had revealed some very important things to John. And John was aware of that. He fell down before the feet of this angel and wanted to direct worship to him. How did the angel respond? Verse 9 says, "Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Here an angel from God indicated that worship should not be directed toward him or any other angel. Worship is only to be directed to God. Matter of fact, Jesus made that point very clearly right after he was baptized, and then when he was tempted by Satan. Jesus was baptized at the end of Matthew chapter 3. And then as Matthew chapter 4 begins, Jesus was tempted by Satan. There were three temptations that are recorded. We're concerned with the last one. Satan told Jesus that he would give him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them if he would only fall down and worship him. Let's notice the response of the Lord. "And then saith Jesus unto him," that is Jesus speaking to Satan, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now these passages make it very clear that the object of worship is God. Worship is not to be directed to man. Worship is not to be directed to an idol or an image that might be made of a variety of materials. Worship is not to be directed to angels. And by the way, in Matthew 4, Jesus made it clear that worship is not to be directed to Satan. Worship is only to be directed to God. I believe it would help us as we worship to realize that we are actually directing our worship to God Almighty. We're in His presence, and we, of course, want to please Him. God is the object of worship. I see a tendency, though, on behalf of some, to at least give the impression that worship is basically for the benefit of the audience. It is true that we receive numerous benefits from worship. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. But we're the participants. God is the audience. Worship is to be directed to God. Jesus made that very clear in his discussion with the woman of Samaria. There are many other passages that teach us that certain individuals and items are not to be worshipped. But Jesus made it very clear that worship is only to be directed to God. Well, let's look at the discussion that Jesus had with this lady a little bit further. And in this discussion, we see that Jesus said that the place of worship was about to change. Remember where Jesus was. He was traveling from Judea to Galilee. He went through Samaria. He was in this place where Jacob's well was located. So the Lord was in Samaria. And in verse 21 of John chapter 4, the Lord said that a time was coming when worshiping the Father would not be limited to this mountain or Jerusalem. What is this mountain that the Lord was referring to? This mountain referred to a place called Mount Gerizim. That is where the Samaritans had built a temple, and that is where they worshiped. They were not welcomed in Jerusalem, so they built their own temple in Mount Gerizim. You might find it also pronounced Mount Gerizim. I looked it up one time, and either pronunciation is accepted. I've been saying Gerizim for so many years, it's hard to break that habit. Well, it's a mountain where the Samaritans had built a temple, and that is where they worshiped. Jesus said a time is coming, and it's very near, when worship won't be limited to Mount Gerizim or Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, the great Jewish temple was located there. That's where the Jews worshiped. Jesus, in addition to teaching that worship is only to be directed to God, indicated that the place where worship is performed was about to change. Worship would not be limited to Mount Gerizim or Jerusalem. You see, in a very short time, Jesus was going to establish his kingdom. He said in Matthew 4 and verse 17, following the temptation that we talked about just a moment ago, when Jesus actually began his ministry, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, it's very near. It's going to be established very soon. Now, Jesus was not the first one to preach that message. John the Baptist had already been preaching it. And when Jesus sent the disciples out on the limited commission, he told them to preach the same message. So God's kingdom was going to be established in the very near future. Now Jesus was fulfilling his ministry at this time. But in his kingdom, a new way of worshiping would be introduced. This worship would be offered to God in the Lord's church. And the Lord's church would not be limited to Mount Gerizim. It would not be limited to Jerusalem. The Lord's plan was for his kingdom to spread throughout the whole world. So in his discussion with the woman of Samaria, Jesus indicated that the place where worship is performed was about to change. It would not be limited to Mount Gerizim for the Samaritans. It would not be limited to Jerusalem for the Jews. His kingdom would spread throughout the whole world. Therefore, worship would not be limited to those two places, as important as they were to the people living at the time. Worship would not be limited to those two places. So that's important. Jesus didn't give a whole lot of details about his kingdom on that occasion. In other passages, he did. But right now, he is revealing some very important information to this lady and us today about worship. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I don't have to travel to Jerusalem to worship. I don't think I would under the world situation now, but I would like to visit Jerusalem just to be able to see some of the sites where some very special things took place. While I'm over there, I wouldn't mind going to Mount Gerizim. I wouldn't visit either place right now because of all the problems in that area. I'm glad that we don't have to travel to those two places to worship. Worship today is in the Lord's church. And the Lord's intention was for the church to spread throughout the whole world, and that is exactly what has happened. Well, let's look at this discussion just a little bit further, because another very important point is made. As we examine this discussion that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman about worship, Jesus stated that God desires a certain type of worship to be directed to him. Now, we know that God is the object of our worship. Jesus said that the place of worship was about to change. Let's understand that God desires a particular type of worship to be directed to him. The kind of worship that God desires is offered in spirit and in truth. Sometimes I wonder if we use that expression to understand the significance of it. Jesus indicated that worship that pleases God is offered to him in spirit and in truth. To worship in spirit means to worship from the heart. It means to be sincere. It involves having the proper attitude and disposition. Now, that's involved in worshiping in spirit. Let me mention those things again. To worship from the heart, to be sincere, and to have the proper attitude and disposition. But Jesus said that God wants his people to worship him in truth. What does that mean? It simply means in accordance with God's will as it is revealed in the New Testament. Now, why did I specify the New Testament? It's because we live under the authority of the New Testament today. Jesus took the old law away. Therefore, we don't worship according to the teachings of the Old Testament. We worship according to the teachings of the New Testament. But the New Testament scriptures teach us exactly the various acts in which we're to participate in as we offer our worship unto God. Now, it's important that we understand that Jesus requires us to worship in spirit and in truth, because it's possible for a person to put his heart into his worship without following God's will. Many times that's called emotionalism. But it's also possible for a person to participate in the right acts without having his heart in it. Sometimes when I think about that, I'm reminded of the conversation I used to try to have with my mother when I was just a ornery little kid. It'd be time to go to worship. I say, "Oh, Mama, do we have to go to church today?" Very wisely, she said, "Yes, we do." And I went. And I'm glad she had that response for me. See, I didn't appreciate what worship was all about. But I'm glad she taught me, as well as a number of other people. It's possible to go through the right acts without having the heart in it. On at least two occasions, I've had people in an audience write me letters while I was trying to preach from God's Word. Now, I ask you, those two people, did they have their minds on what the scriptures teach? Well, I won't deal with the content of the letters. I've still got those letters, by the way. Once in a while, I look at them. That makes me appreciate people who put their hearts into that worship. I don't know why either person was there that day, really. Rather than concentrate on offering worship unto God, they were concerned with criticizing me. That's sad. If I had those kinds of feelings toward one who was preaching, I wouldn't be sitting there in the audience myself. I'd want to go somewhere where I could feel comfortable listening to someone who was proclaiming the scriptures. That's just an illustration of how it's possible to be in an audience without actually worshiping in the right way. Every once in a while, I think about what mothers have to go through in tending the children and being in worship. And I've learned over the years to appreciate what mothers go through. I remember my mother got 4 kids ready on Sunday morning, cooked lunch, and got everyone ready. I don't know how she did it, but she did. She was an amazing woman. Well, she's not the only one. You know what I'm talking about. Well, true worship is offered in spirit and in truth. One is not to be emphasized over the other. When Jesus said "and," he conjoined them. They're both equal. We have to worship sincerely. We have to have our hearts in our worship, but we're to worship in truth. One is not to be emphasized over the other. They're both equally important. Now, the fact that Jesus talked about true worship, he mentioned the fact that God seeks true worshipers to worship him, that implies something. That implies that there are types of worship that are not true. These are to be avoided. And Lord willing, this evening, we want to look at a number of passages that tell us about examples of untrue worship. In the Bible, we read about a number of people who offered worship to God, but it was not true. And of course, those examples were written for our benefit. A wise person learns from the mistakes of others. Well, we need to examine ourselves on a regular basis to determine if we are offering to God the kind of worship that he desires. For worship is a special privilege for God's people. Worship provides opportunities to express our love and appreciation to God. Worship provides opportunities to receive instruction from God's holy word. Worship provides opportunities to make corrections in our lives. And worship provides opportunities to receive encouragement from God as well as brothers and sisters in the Lord. See, I mentioned earlier that there are benefits that we're able to enjoy as a result of worshiping God. In my judgment, we would do well to adopt the philosophy that David expressed in Psalm 122 in verse 1. This is a magnificent statement. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." David made that statement. If there ever was a man who loved to worship God, it was David. But you know, David spent a lot of time worshiping under various situations. Sometimes in his writings, he'll be reflecting upon the ways in which God had blessed him so abundantly. And of course, his natural response was to worship God. There were times when he enjoyed great victories. He worshiped God. But there was one particular low point in his life when he was questioned about his worship. But David worshiped anyway. He realized that he was able to receive a blessing from God as a result of directing his worship to the Lord. Every once in a while, I think about two occasions that Teresa and I went through that were not pleasant at all. My dad passed away. His funeral was on a Wednesday. Teresa's dad passed away. His funeral was on a Wednesday. On both occasions, we went to worship on Wednesday evenings. I can remember a few people said, why are you here? You just lost someone very special. And my response was, where else could I possibly be? Now, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. But if there ever was a time when I needed to hear about God and be reminded of His love and receive encouragement from some brothers and sisters in the Lord, those were two occasions. And I just thought to myself, where else could I possibly be? Well, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm concerned about the effects of the pandemic. We receive a number of bulletins throughout the country, and attendance at worship has been affected tremendously. And I know for a while we had to be concerned about things, but coming into the presence of God and being around brothers and sisters in the Lord is a special blessing. And although we postpone services in the evening for a couple of months, we never missed a Sunday morning service. And I'm happy to announce that, because a lot of congregations didn't feel that strongly about worship. And I even see today some of the effects of that thinking. I know there's a lot to be concerned about. We have to be concerned about health matters. But how much more important is to have good spiritual health in the sight of God and having the disposition of wanting to please Him in all situations, not just when it's easy, but when the going gets rough. I appreciate the Lord's statement. He said the true worshipers are the type that the Father seeks to worship Him. Now, if God seeks something, it must be pretty important to Him. And you know, we have an opportunity to please Him by offering worship unto Him that He desires. I believe that makes the Lord happy. The Bible does talk about joy in heaven, doesn't it? There's joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. I believe, based on what the Lord said, that the Father is pleased when His children worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, it's interesting that, as I said earlier, there were a number of times when Jesus had discussions with people, and as He did so, He presented some very important instructions. Now, not too long before the event that we've been studying about in John chapter 4, in John chapter 3, Jesus had a discussion with a man named Nicodemus. He was the man who came to the Lord by night. And the Lord talked to him about the new birth. In verse 3 of John 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus was confused, and he asked several questions about the nature of this new birth. Jesus explained it in verse 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You see, as Jesus had a discussion with Nicodemus, he talked about the new birth and about how to enter the kingdom of God. Well, that new birth consists of being born of water and of the Spirit. When Jesus gave the Great Commission in Mark 16, he explained it this way, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Well, it is through that we're able to enter the kingdom of God, and then we have the blessed privilege of worshiping in spirit and in truth. If you'd like to respond to the Lord's invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.